بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه وتحلى بصفاته إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد، فقد قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، أتل ما أوحي إليك من الكتاب وأقم الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون، صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: يا أيها الناس، قد أظلكم شهر عظيم مبارك فيه ليلة خير من ألف شهر، إلى آخر الحديث، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected ulama kiram, elders and beloved brothers in Islam, as we are all well aware, we have just over 1 month before the main event, the pinnacle, the climax, the highlight of the Islamic calendar, which is the month of Ramadan. Approximately 32 to 33 days before the month of Ramadan arrives, ulama explain the month of Ramadan is like a noble and high profile guest. Generally, when a guest arrives, he relies on the host for his provisions, for his food, drink, safety, comfort, for security. But this particular guest will bring safety, will bring comfort, will bring security, will bring barakat and blessings into the home of the host. Generally, prior to the arrival of any guest, elaborate preparations have to be made. Food and drink has to be prepared. Accommodation has to be arranged. His transport has to be arranged for the duration of his stay. But the month of Ramadan will not demand much by way of physical preparation. Rather, ulama explain the month of Ramadan will demand spiritual preparation. And therefore Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala every year gives us these opportunities. A few nights ago we had the 27th of Rajab. Then in approximately 2 weeks' time we will have the 15th of Sha'ban, Laylatul Bara'a. These are excuses. What we can say, a reminder, a wake-up call. That Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is giving us the message, if you have not yet started your preparation, then start now. Before the arrival of the month of Ramadan, so that when the month of Ramadan will come, I am already in gear, in motion. And we know, my dear brothers, when it comes to the other high profile events in our lives, that girl who has reached marriageable age, and now there is talk within the home, that there is a potential suitor who may come to see you. Nothing is confirmed, there is no guarantee that she will get married now. The date hasn't even been set. But already in the mind of that young girl, she begins to prepare. She's already thinking of the theme of her wedding, the color scheme, the decor, the menu, the guest list. Who will I call, who will I not call? Preparation starts well in advance. A person is embarking on a new business venture, a new branch that he's opening. Preparation will not start 1 or 2 days before, but well in advance the calendar is already marked that this is the date for this event in my life, because we understand the significance, the importance, what rests on it, that I'm putting all my funds into this business venture. If I make it, I make it. Understand, my dear brothers, in the life of a believer, for a person with iman, there is no higher profile event than the month of Ramadan. If I make it, I will make it in the court of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And therefore ulama explained for us to now condition our mind. That I need to begin my preparation for the month of Ramadan. How? One is, ulama explained for a person to introspect. That right now within my life, what is blocking my connection with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Ulama give an example. When preparation is not made, there's some relative who is coming from overseas, and you haven't seen him for many years, and he is expecting a warm welcome. He sends the details of his arrival, his flight, whatever it may be. And this person then leaves his hometown, he travels. Perhaps the flight is 20 hours long. He hasn't had a decent meal in that time. He has barely slept in that time. And when he touches down, he expects that there will be a welcoming party for me. Somebody will be waiting to receive me at the airport. And he walks out of that arrivals, And he is scanning, looking for some familiar face. He can't see anybody. He is searching those name boards. Perhaps my name will be there. But here also he can't find his name. And the reality dawns upon him. My host must have forgotten about me. So he thinks to himself, better I take a taxi and go to the house of the host. And I'm sure he'll be waiting to welcome me there. But when he comes to the home, he finds, here also no preparations have been made. The house is in a mess. The guest bedroom hasn't been prepared. The linen hasn't been changed. There's no fresh towels for him. No meals have been prepared. Ulama say, what will a noble, an honorable person do? With honor and dignity, he will turn around and leave. It seems I am not welcome here. My host is giving me the cold shoulder. Perhaps my stay is a burden for him. But would this ulama explain that guest will take away his barakat and blessings? The month of Ramadan, if we will not prepare this, the very same will happen to us. But on the contrary, that person who will be prepared, and he will wait in anticipation for the arrival of this guest. He will not regard the duration of the stay of the guest to be a burden upon him. He will take it as a source of blessings, a source of happiness and joy. Then like any noble and honorable guest, the guest will distribute his barakat and blessings in that home. So one is for a person to introspect that right now what is blocking my connection with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Ulama give an example, a person buys a new car. The paint is shining. The interior smells of new leather. The engine has barely any miles on it. It's got the latest technology. And he's paid a large amount also for this vehicle. But there is just one air bubble in the fuel line. Just one bubble of air. And the car refuses to start. The tank is full of petrol. Everything else has been taken care of. But the car cannot start. That car is useless. The person cannot travel down the road also. What is blocking my connection right now? That air bubble within my life. What is blocking my connection with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Perhaps it is something in my business. Perhaps it is some overdraft, some interest. Perhaps it is some illicit relationship. Whatever it may be. Ulama say each person knows the skeletons in his own closet. But before the arrival of the month of Ramadan, for me to clean this out. So that when the hilal for Ramadan is sighted, I can now make istiqbal and welcome the month of Ramadan with happiness. With a clean slate in front of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And here also ulama explain that a person may think to himself, that year in and year out the month of Ramadan comes. These opportunities are given to me. But I have those things within my life which are impossible to get rid of. Whatever it may be, some act of disobedience of Allah. It seems like a mountain to climb. There is almost no way that I can get rid of it. Ulama say, take courage. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, how beautifully he gave courage to Sahaba. He mentioned to them the incident of that person amongst the Bani Israel who was going through some financial difficulty, tough times. So he comes to a wealthy person and he asks to take a loan, a certain number of gold coins. The person gives him the loan and the date for repayment has been fixed. So this person takes the money and he goes. And in that particular town, he happened to be living on the other side of the river. A boat or some vessel was needed to cross. He goes back home. He uses that wealth to see to his needs, his expenses. And very quickly, the date of repayment comes. So this person had accumulated the funds. He was ready to pay back. And he comes to the river bank. It was Allah's decision. The weather was not very favorable on that day. And he cannot find any vessel or any boat to take him across. So he realizes that I will not make it to pay my debt or to pay back this loan in its time. So thinking to himself, I will do what is within my capacity. And this is the lesson for us. That no matter how difficult it may seem, but Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants to see us take that first step. To show Allah that we are ready to make a change. So this person sees a log of wood. So he picks up this log of wood and he carves out an area within that log of wood, and he places this bag of gold coins into it. And he writes a note addressing it to the person who had given him the loan, that I was unable to make it, but I am placing this in the amanat and the trust of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah will convey it to you. And saying this, he ties it up and he puts it into the river. And he goes back home. But as the days and the nights pass, his conscience troubles him, that I wonder if this money found its way to the recipient or not. After a few days' time, he manages to find somebody to take him across. And he goes to the house of this person, he knocks on the door. And he says, I have come to inquire, or rather I have come to seek your forgiveness, that I have delayed in repaying the loan, and now so many days have gone by. The person says to him, that I can't understand why you have come to ask for forgiveness, because you did repay the loan on time. He says, what do you mean? So he says, I also had that date saved, and I came to the riverbank in anticipation that you will come and repay me. And as the hours went by, I realized that you were not coming. So I saw this piece of wood floating on the water. And I thought to myself, let me take it back home. Perhaps it will be of some use, some benefit to me. When I took it home and I inspected it closely, I saw your handwritten note. And I found that bag of gold coins, and I realized Allah has conveyed that money back to me. Muhaddithin explained the gist of it in our own words. Where there is a will, there is a way. When a person will take the first step, when we will show Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, I am prepared to make that change. No matter how high that mountain seems, how impossible the task seems, but I am prepared to make a change, Allah will facilitate it for us. Ulama give a beautiful example, the young child. And we have all experienced this within our lives. When we were growing up, and then later on with our children, perhaps with our grandchildren, the young child has never been into the water before. And the father says to the child, jump and I will catch you. Jump and I will catch you. He can see his cousins jumping in. He can see his friends jumping in. But they all know how to swim. He has never been in the water before. And the father promises him that if you jump, I will catch you. I will not allow you to drown. But the child is afraid. He doesn't want to let go of the comfort and security of the ground that he is standing on. But eventually he takes the courage and he jumps. He leaves the stability of the ground and he flies through the air, and then his father catches him. And the amount of joy and ecstasy he finds in that, now he says to his father, let me go again. And let me go a third time and a fourth time. The father says, time is up, we have to go back home. But he says, I want to continue. He tastes the sweetness. Ulama say, we need to jump for Allah. Give up the stability and security that I think I have in my life. And give up whatever acts of disobedience that I am perpetrating. It may seem as though I am giving up something very great. But ulama say, the ecstasy and joy Allah will give a person will be unmatched. And then like that young child, a person will say, I want to jump again. And again, and again, for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Understand, my dear brothers, in Suratul An'am, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains his system in this world when it comes to disobedience. And something for us to take note of. Very often we find ourselves lulled into a false sense of security. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala explains that person who will transgress, who will break the commands of Allah, then there are two stages Allah will take him through. First, Allah will test him. Allah will give him some wake-up call. Perhaps it will be some sickness, some death in the family. Financially, business might take a knock. Something for the person to realize. And we know any person who goes through some concern, some worry, it becomes so much easier now to come to the masjid, to take out time after salah, to make sincere dua. So Allah will first test him, in hope that this person will realize the error of his ways, and he will make tawbah and turn to Allah. But then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala explains the second stage. When this person now makes israr, He becomes persistent upon sin. And again, a lesson for each and every one of us to introspect, is this within my life or not? When a person now blatantly disregards the commands of Allah, and day in and day out, the word is not bravery. I don't know if we can call it courage. But he finds the courage to break the command of Allah. Now the second stage, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Now Allah says, we will not test him, but rather now we will open up the doors of dunya for him. We will give him everything of this world. We will give him prosperity. We will give him good health. Business will take a turn for the better. The profits will be increasing. The customers are flowing. His family life is going smoothly. His relationships are all stable. He begins to enjoy life. And this is the deception. He thinks to himself that Allah must be happy with me. How is my life going so smoothly? But he knows that he is breaking the commands of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains that I am only giving him rope to hang himself with. Hatta idha farihu bima utu. When he becomes exultant, when he begins to rejoice, when he is lulled into this false sense of security, now Allah says, akhadnahum baghtatan. Suddenly we will pull the carpet from under his feet. Now Allah hits him from somewhere, and he looks back. I never expected this to happen. It may be some accident, it may be some sudden illness, he's hospitalized, something happens at work, something happens in his marriage, Allah protect us. But Allah was giving him rope to hang himself, he did not introspect. He did not look back and realize, I am breaking, transgressing the commands of Allah. So for us to look within our lives, my dear brothers, before the month of Ramadan, in the month of Ramadan, the hearts are soft. It becomes so much easier for us to come to the masjid. We have experienced it for so many years. But now for me to prepare, before the month of Ramadan comes, to look into my life. As we mentioned, to see those things that are blocking my relationship with Allah. To take courage to give them up, and then ulama say, the first port of call, or the first action for a person to take stock of, that which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says will be the first to be questioned for on the day of Qiyamah. And we would have heard on Wednesday night regarding the incident of Isra and Mi'raj and the gift of Salah that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave to the Summat. But what is the condition of my Salah? Ulama explained right now, perhaps we are in the Masjid, Alhamdulillah. We're reading our 5 times Salah with Jamaat. But what is the condition of my Salah spiritually? Physically, are the postures of my Salah correct? Is my recitation of Quran correct? Allah has given us so many ulama, so many qurra, so many learned people within our communities for me to go to them right now. That before the month of Ramadan, I want to stand in Taraweeh Salah, I want to stand in my Nafil Salah in a manner that is pleasing to Allah. We know, my dear brothers, in our lives, we want everything perfect. The housewife, she wants the house to be cleaned perfectly. If the domestic doesn't move the furniture and sweep, she must do it again. We'll keep her overtime, but she's being paid for it. The mopping must be done correctly. The bathroom must be perfect. The kitchen counters must be perfect. In our businesses, that worker must pack the shelf the way I want him to do so. It must be absolutely perfect, or I will make him do it again. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam sees a sahabi coming into the masjid. He begins his salah. When he completes his salah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam tells him, irji' fasalli fa innaka lam tusalli. Go back and repeat your salah because you didn't read salah. The sahabi goes back. He repeats the 2 rakat salah. Again, Nabi alayhi salam says to him, go back and repeat, you haven't read salah. Finally, he comes, O Nabi of Allah, where am I going wrong? And then painstakingly, with care, with love, with compassion, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam takes him through the postures of salah. So for us to have this consciousness, my dear brothers, when it comes to the postures of salah, when it comes to my recitation of Quran, when it comes to the spiritual dimension of my salah, that when I stand before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, what was the mindset of sahaba? Ulama explain, and we'll end on this. When a person says, Allahu Akbar, Then what is meant by this? Allah sabse bara hai. In Urdu they say Allah is the greatest. Bare ke maanne mein kamyabi hai. For us to believe in the greatness of Allah is my success. Bare ke maanne mein khair hai. Bare ke maanne mein sab kuch hai. For a person to understand and realize that in my salah everything will get taken care of. The business deal I'm waiting for, that parashani, that worry, that concern that I have within my life, whatever aspect of my life it may be, the solution to it is in my salah. The month of Ramadan is the month of salah, the month of Quran. Time has already expired before the month of Ramadan, my dear brothers. For us to go back home, discuss with our families, our wives, our children, to sit as a family, when there's some financial difficulty, when the economy is becoming tight, how we will sit and go through our finances, go through our expenses, where can I save? Where can I cut costs for us to now see as families, with our wives, our children, our grandchildren, our extended families, where are we going wrong? What is blocking our relationship with Allah? The month of Ramadan will come. And then I can meet Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala with a clean slate. Allah give us tawfiq, give us correct understanding. Make this Ramadan, Allah first of all, allow us to reach the month of Ramadan with afiyat and make it the best month of our lives. Allah give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.